It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this rainy Monday. Looks like it's going to be rain all week. Just what we need. More rain. Yesterday was beautiful, by the way.
Man.
Hope you got out. I did.
Listen, I didn't know I was moving to Seattle, man.
I know. It's crazy.
It's all good, though, man. It's all good. It definitely rains a lot here. I'm surprised by that.
How about last week? So 72 on Monday, the day after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. Early February, 72 degrees.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Wednesday, canoe. Okay. Everybody had needed a canoe to get around town. Mm-hmm. Flooding everywhere. By Friday or Thursday, what was it? Wednesday and Thursday, tornadoes. Friday, snow. Thursday night and Friday, snow.
Yeah.
That was Monday through Friday.
You ever see that movie, Geostorm?
No.
I haven't either.
What?
When did it
come
out? I'm
not even a movie dude. I don't know when it came out. I watched it on Hulu a couple days ago. It was really good, but it was...
What is it called? Geostorm?
Geostorm.
Hmm, no.
They made this satellite called Dutch Boy, and they all the countries came together. And they put this satellite in the air called Dutch Boy, and it, like, oversaw all of the weather. And then one person, you know, money and power, it's the ultimate root of all evil, and one person sabotaged it, and things just went haywire. But these type of weather conditions were exactly what Dutch Boy was doing when a virus was implanted into it.
Hmm. Well, if you watched the Oscars last night, apparently we need to watch Parasite.
Yeah.
I'd never even heard of it. But
you do. It is incredible.
They won everything so last night. I was like, I've never even heard of this movie.
Deservingly so. It's in Korean, so you have to like read the subtitles and stuff. But that doesn't bother me because I have subtitles on my movies anyway because it keeps me more engaged. But that's one of the better movies I've ever seen, personally.
I find myself reading the subtitles and missing what's on the
right.
screen. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's you got to multitask. The whole movie?
Oh, it keeps me engaged. For me, it helps. And with that movie, too, it's very dialogue-based.
Silly
so that
question.
Helps.
Where did you watch it?
My brother has means of watching it on the internet, similar to how you'd watch baseball games on Reddit without your Dish Network package.
Ooh. Break it along.
Is that illegal?
Of course not.
Huh.
Anyway.
I,
so you
Teron
have to
Davenport,
watch, you
have no parts of that.
Yeah, you have to watch the movie illegally, yet it just won all the awards?
As
what?
The assistant program director of ESPN 102.5 The Game, I'm going to say, let's move on.
I honestly,
so how about those Titans?
That's Campbell,
it was in theaters
C-A-M-P.
Somewhere.
How about the Bears? They're going to go all the way. Yeah, big season. Bears, yeah. Look, I just, they raked. Last night, and I'm like, Parasite, huh?
It's available on Blu-ray now. I highly recommend it.
Really? Okay. Well, I'll probably check it out now that it's got to be pretty good, I would assume. All right, so let's figure out who's going to be good in the South. Let's figure out the offseason, okay? By the way, I was just reading where Chris Rumpf, who has been the Vols' outside linebackers coach, highly regarded, just hired by Bill O'Brien and the Texans. So we'll talk to Vince about that loss. So they lose a staff member. He's going to the NFL, and he will be in the Titans division. Let's start with there because they've been the model in the division. Let's be honest, especially with Andrew Luck out of the picture. Texans. Now that Bill O'Brien is everything but the owner of the Texans, what do you think they're going to be looking to do in the offseason? This time last year, everybody knew it was – Offensive line, more offensive line, and then some offensive linemen. And they did that in the draft and free agency. So what do you think they need to address this offseason?
Yeah, I think they still need to add to that offensive line. frankly. In addition to that, they definitely could use help at corner, right? And they tried to address that with Lonnie Johnson out of Kentucky. Bradley Roby is going to be a free agent, so you're going to have to do something there. I definitely think that's an area that they'll have to go to. Will Fuller, listen, are you going to stay
healthy? Just stay healthy, man.
Yeah, so they may have to look to a guy like a Jalen Reagor, a K.J. Hamler, you know, one Devin Duvernay, one of those type of guys that can run that deep over route to open up things up for Hopkins running the dig route, you know, so they could divide things up that way. I think offensive line is still an area that they address. I think they're going to look for a guard, right? They have the he's a HBCU prospect. Mm-hmm. They drafted him. He got hurt, and then he'll play right tackle. You know,
he was the one that was drafted here, and we all went, who? What?
Yeah, he was a first round pick.
The Texans.
I forget.
Actually, most of their offensive linemen, we were like,
yeah,
who? Well, they weren't exactly drafting them from Texas A&M.
Yeah,
in Texas.
So they're going to need to address the
smaller school guys. But that's fine.
I can see a guy like Matt Hennessy, you know, a center that could start at guard too. I could see him out of Temple. You know, I'm always going to.
You're going to bring Temple into
it. I love that program. I love it. I love Temple's program. So, yeah, I definitely if there's a player, you know, that needs to be spotlighted, I will spotlight him.
Will Fuller is the big enigma with that team because he is so frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for them. Thank goodness. Everybody else in the division is like, hey, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Just play half a season. That's great for us. Let's hope that the games you miss are when we're playing you. Because when he's out there, man, he is a difference maker.
Yep,
he really changes everything. The problem is what we're saying. He's always hurt.
Always hurt, man. That's the issue.
So I don't know how you change that. I don't know if all of a sudden he just poof, magically puts in a full season. But I just think he's going to be one of those stories. We'll always say, man, that guy was so good when he was hurt. But he was always hurt.
And there's always soft tissue stuff, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point. What was he out of the playoffs?
Groin. Had the hamstring.
Ankle. I mean, it's always. Yeah. And I get it. He's fast, but jeez. And you see how different they are when he's not in there.
Yeah.
And how different they are when he is in there.
I tell you, man, a European sports car, man, you know,
requires
a lot of maintenance.
Okay,
good way to put it.
That is a good way to put it. And, oh, by the way, the defense, they lose Clowney. You're thinking that has to impact them. J.J. Watt is another guy who breaks down a lot, but he's so impactful when he's out there, so impactful in the room, but he misses a lot. At some point, you would think this defense is going to catch up to them, where they have been able to sustain, but they keep losing key guys, and I would think at some point it is going to catch up to them.
Yeah, well, they did themselves a solid by adding Charles Omenihu in the draft. He's a good option. You know, give him a guy that could hand in the dirt or stand up, you know, gives them flexibility, versatility as far as their fronts are concerned.
By the way, it did catch up to them in Kansas City. They gave up 51.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Well, and I'm curious too because
41 unanswered, was that right?
Yeah. We talk about momentum with the Titans that you can't take a step backward, and it was an embarrassing loss for Houston after being up by as much as they were to Kansas City, and then they lose. I think Bill O'Brien starts the season with a warm seat. I mean,
by who? That's, himself?
That's the thing.
Well,
he's the general manager. He just got
ownership.
But if the ownership was concerned about Bill O'Brien, they wouldn't make him the GM.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing, man. I don't get what.
Who is running that team now that Bob McNair has passed away? Is it his wife or son or?
Can't tell you. Whoever it is, man.
Sounds familiar, right, Darren?
Yeah.
Whoever it is, they do not
look like they're in a healthy place right
because
now.
Because here's the thing, they don't have draft like they're. Draft capital is depleted.
Mm-hmm. Remember when they traded for Tunzel?
Right.
Yeah.
So they do have some money, I believe, under the cap, so they could, you know, sign some guys. But, I mean, we've seen that free agency isn't the sole way you build a team. And who do they have there as far as a talent evaluation? perspective is concerned, that will be able to go in and get fourth and fifth round guys that could come in and you know, be like a Jayon Brown. Or, you know what I mean? I don't think they have. They're in a tough situation.
Yep. Colts. I think this one is really interesting.
I think the Colts are in a good place.
Okay. You know, how could you say that without knowing who's going to be under center? Don't you need to see that first?
Well, why? And that's the thing that just, I don't know. I don't see the rush to jump off Jacoby Brissett. I really don't. I don't see the rush. I mean, yeah, they had a losing streak, but look in that losing streak. You had your guy that you used, Paris Campbell was, a second-round pick, mm-hmm. right? And he was projected to be a big part of the offense. Eric Ebron was down for two games.
Marlon Mack got hurt.
Was down. Marlon Mack was hurt. That team clearly had their formula, right, as far as how they were going to win. They were running the football, and Brissett was keeping things going, managing the game, but giving them a couple big plays. I mean, that's how they were working. And I think with Frank Wright, you know, he's going to run the football. That's what he likes to do. I don't think that Brissett is a guy that you just automatically jump off of. I don't think so. You know,
so you don't think they're going to move on from him?
I don't think they're going to move on this year. I think they could definitely be in play for Jordan Love. As I said before, Frank Reich, I feel like he really is fond of Jordan Love. So I can see them bringing him in and allowing him to kind of serve as an apprentice to Brissett for this year, maybe next year, and then go ahead and take over. The contract is set up that way, right? But if you look at their roster overall, top to bottom, they are very solid. I think they could use, a younger guy to help them in the pass rush side of things. They're going to have to figure out, you know, what the deal is with Anthony Costanzo. He could retire. He could move on via free agency, right? And that's another team that built their self upon the offensive line, right? High draft picks, right? Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly. So that's something they're going to have to work to maintain. But I don't think they're in a bad place. I really don't.
And finally, the Jacksonville Jags. The Jaguars. They're just the Jags, right? I mean, you just go, they're the Jags.
They're the Jaguars.
Just let them be Jacksonville because that's who they are. I mean, I just feel like they're going to always find a way to just be the Jags, right? Until they prove us. Otherwise, I know they did it a couple years ago. They, you know, had that really good season where they won, 12 games in the regular season, went all the way to the AFC Championship game, could have won, but then they went right back to the Jags. And I don't know what's going to change.
Yeah, I don't see it changing.
Who's going to be under – speaking of, who's going to be under center for them?
It's probably Nick
Foles.
Minshew.
Didn't they just pull the plug on Nick Foles and like, yeah, we're done with him. We're moving on.
I wonder – that's going to be expensive to completely move on from.
They gave him a big contract.
Yeah, because I want to say it was
80-something million?
It was $88 million, but I think it was like 50 guaranteed. Right on the money, 50 guaranteed. Mm. So,
by the way, last year was year one.
Right, and it's a four-year deal.
Yeah.
So that's going to be – but fortunately, they have Minshew on a lower – so it kind of – The money is the same, except for you got the guy making the bulk of the money as the backup.
Yeah.
If the owner could swallow that, then, hey, you know what? It is what it is. But I think really what's going to happen with them, Yannick Ngakoue, what happens there, right? Mm-hmm. They say they want to tag him. He apparently doesn't want to be tagged. Social media, you know, he posted the deuces in reference to moving on from the Jaguars. If he hits the market, he's going to be a high demand free agent, a guy who could possibly come here, other places too. So what happens there, right? Because if he moves on, now you got to look at in the draft, you have to not only look at getting a corner, you have to look at getting another edge rusher because Calais Campbell may also be moving on. You can't leave it all to Josh Allen. He has to have somebody to be the Robin to his Batman.
I just think they're going to be clearly the fourth. They're going to be picked fourth.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're going to finish fourth, but I just think that they are going to be the odds-on favorite by most to be the fourth-best team in the division.
I don't think you can accurately pick that division, though. I mean, we've tried.
Well, but I mean, in reality, it's been the Texans and the Colts the last 6 years.
Yeah, consistently.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the 1 year of Jacksonville, but other than that, it's not like the Titans have been winning the division. It's not like Jacksonville's been winning the division. It's been
they finished second.
It's been a two-headed monster.
Yeah. It just last year, I don't remember what we all picked last year, but I think I picked the Titans to win the division. But
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you picked? Did you go Indy?
No. No, because
Luck had retired.
Luck had retired.
But yeah, I mean,
I don't think I picked them to win the division. I think I still have the Texans again. I have to go back and look.
Well, that worked out for you.
Well, I mean, that's once again, it's like somebody's going to have to knock them off their perch. I just feel like at some point, all this is going to catch up to Houston. We just laid out some pretty good things. Like they seem like they're a little bit of a rudderless ship up top. That eventually is going to catch up to you. I mean, do you really want your head coach running that many things? Speaking of segue on the other side, I want to know where everybody stands in this room, if indeed we can read the room and it looks like the head coach is going to be also the defensive coordinator. And he did make a hire, linebackers coach. So we'll discuss that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. We had a really good conversation with Greg McElroy last week on the show. Look forward to talking to Tom Hart at 1 o'clock. This is what I know coming up at 11:45.
Real quick on that, I thought Greg and Tom did a great job with the XFL broadcast, but I liked Greg Olson too, and I keep reading all these reports that he's making visits with teams like he's wanting to play. I mean, he's got his second career if he wants it.
It won't pay like his first career, though.
No, but it's not bad.
Unless you're Tony Romo. And I don't know. Maybe he is in line. I mean, look, if he is on one of the top broadcasting crews for
Fox or CBS,
then, you know, he will be making millions. So,
well, Olsen has a deal in place with Fox for if he wants it.
And you don't have to get hit?
Yeah, and he'd probably be in with the number two team with Kevin Burkhardt, I guess Charles Davis. They were going to do that with Jay Cutler. They were going to make it the three of them. Put Jay Cutler with Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhardt, so I could see them doing that with Olsen.
How did he do?
He was good.
Yeah,
I thought he did
really
a good job.
Good. Yeah, really good. And the thing that was impressive to me is he was knowledgeable of the roster.
Yeah.
So it was very clear that he did research. He knew backstories about different guys. He did an awesome job, definitely.
That, by the way, that is critical because a lot of guys, you would think or take that for granted that they all do that. That's not the case.
Mm-mm.
They don't all do that. So that's good to hear. So I don't know what he's going to do, but I did see Seattle as one of the teams. That would have to be an intriguing place for Greg Olson. If he was considering coming back for another year, Seattle would, I would think, be an intriguing. If your options were, no offense to these teams, but if it was like Buffalo and the Jets and just teams we all think are not going to be very good, then I'd probably just go to the booth. But if you think you can get on a winning team again?
I think I wouldn't put Buffalo in that category.
That's true. That's a good point.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. I like their coach. By the way, I don't think McDermott gets enough credit.
No, he doesn't.
I think he's done a really good job. You're right. I think I just reverted to about the 19-year gap that they had of not playing January football. And now he's got them back there two out of the last 3 years. So you're right. I shouldn't put Buffalo in that category.
Yeah. They got a good deal going.
They do. He's a really good coach.
But the Redskins, well, the only reason I could see more of the Redskins.
There's one.
But,
throw them in there.
But
who's their perennial loser.
Who's their head coach, though? That would be the
– Ron Rivera.
Right.
But, look, there's only been one guy that's come in there. And Jay Gruden. I thought Jay Gruden, who, by the way, we didn't mention, is in the Titans division now. Right, in Jacksonville. But I don't think Jay Gruden got enough credit. But it's just hard because they just seem like they are a hot mess up top, we all know. But the Hall of Famer in two sports is the only guy that's really been able to have decent success in Joe Gibbs.
Right. Yeah, and that's just because of the ownership, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Snyder. You know, Dan Snyder doesn't know how to run a team, or he tries too hard. You know, I think the best owners are the ones that put the football people in place and say, here, you run my team, and if I need to step in, I will. But it, otherwise, you do it.
Their issues go even deeper than that because you have Bruce Allen, you have the medical team. Like, there were just so many.
Well, Bruce Allen's gone, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's so their issues were deeper than just the owner.
They've made a lot of bad hires in that front office.
A lot.
Lot of bad, bad hires.
And mismanaging play. I mean, dadgummit, Trent Williams had to go someplace else to find out he had can't. Hey, come on, man.
I know.
Come on.
That's a horrible look.
Yeah.
It's horrible look. All right. Where are we? And Teron, we'll start with you. Where are you on all signs pointing toward? Well, I've missed the press release unless it's come out that they've officially named the head coach the defensive coordinator. All signs are that he's going to serve as the DC as well.
Well, the press release they sent out last week said that they had finalized the staff.
Right. So reading between the lines, he's going to be the defensive coordinator. How do you feel about that?
I mean, this is something I said over 2 weeks ago. So,
and you were the first to call it. So congrats to you.
I think it's going to be just fine. I really do. And I think bringing in Haslett was very crucial to make this process go smoothly. Because you have a guy who's been in that seat, a veteran in that seat. So there is someone to be that calming voice or someone to be that, hey, you know what? They're doing this. We might need to do this to count. You know what I mean? Whether it be on game day, also leading up to it. I think Coach Vrabel is going to be fine. Now, granted, this team is going to be somewhat cheated because Vrabel's not going to be as involved in other aspects as far as like being able to go through the whole circuit, right, and oversee everything that he used to do as far as with different positions and stuff like that. But you know what? It's where you have to rely on the guys that you have in place to do their job effectively. And that's the thing. I know Vrabel and the coaches on that team, their focus, especially with drills and things like that, is to make sure that these drills are effective and they transfer from practice to game day. So I don't think it's as much of an issue as it's being made out to be as far as him not – being involved with each and every play group. I think this also position group, excuse me. I think this also is going to work from an aspect of Arthur Smith continuing to be more comfortable and ascend as an offensive coordinator. Now he's going to have more reign over that offense. You're not going to have Vrabel in that room, you know, you're not going to have Vrabel in that room working with Arthur Smith on a game plan. So it's just a shift in focus.
But I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. Because if you trust your OC, exactly, like he seems to, and we all seem to after what we saw, then it's time to let him fly and see what he can do. And now Vrabel can – now my concern with Vrabel being the defensive coordinator is the year he was the DC in Houston wasn't exactly great, but it was 1 year.
Right.
So and they had injuries and things like that. He has the right people in place on the support staff that I think he can handle it. And while Haslett was not a great head coach in the league, I do like the fact that he has a former head coach on the staff now, somebody that he can swap ideas with, almost have an advisor. And he's replaced what he had with Dean Pease from somebody that's been doing this longer than him.
I don't love it. I'll just be perfectly honest. I don't love it at all. Dean Pease was critically important.
Listen. I'm not saying that they're going to have the same because Dean Pease was a great coordinator.
Yeah, but they have to stay at that level because we've already talked about it. What were the two driving forces to this team's success? Running the football and their defense. Bottom line, like they can't take a step back. Like they have to be just as good on defense. You would hope even better, but they can't take a step back on defense. I just don't love it. I don't know what proof there is that Mike Vrabel, even though he's a very, very hands-on coach, I get it. And we've all seen the picture. You're out there with the pads and doing – I get all that. But there's a difference between doing that and making your and having your presence always around a group to now, Teron, being in the room, actually making the calls. It's just – that's a lot of responsibility. And, oh, by the way, for a guy – that why I believe he got better as the season went along. I certainly have questioned his in-game decision-making. I think he needs to get better. I think I've said it on the show. He needs help at times. But there's a lot of responsibility for a head coach, especially in-game. And now you're going to take away even more because he has to worry about the defense?
I mean, look, I'm not saying I love it and it's a home run. But I am saying that I don't think it's as big of an issue, as big of a reason for concern. And obviously, you want to get better than you were last year. That's without a doubt, right? But I don't feel that you're going to have this huge step back. I think that defense is going to be fine. They need pieces too, right? Because there's a thing, you can have all the X and O's, but you need the Joes to supersede those X's and O's.
What about the Jimmys?
Jimmy's too.
You just need Joe's?
Yeah, so I think I'll just kind of run through your joke. No, but seriously, I think it's really going to come down to players that they add. There are certain things. They need a pass rusher. They need that. It's imperative. So I think if they can add that, they could be fine.
And they need it, in my opinion, via the draft and free agency.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah,
it wouldn't hurt, but I don't think Vrabel would be in that bad shape. I think this just means, again, a lot more offensive control is going to fall onto Arthur Smith. Mm.
Well, there's no doubt that'll have to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants to, he's going to have to basically be Casper on the offensive side of the ball or in the rooms, right? I mean, we know. The players have said it. He checks in everywhere. I just think that process will probably, dare I say, go away. Because
I don't think it goes away.
No?
No. Because I saw it with Doug Peterson. I can't say that because Frank Reich was there. But I don't think it goes away. I think he'll still be in the run. And I think that's where having Jim Haslett, a guy who Vrabel trusts immensely, he played for him. I think having him there is going to help a lot because he is someone that he could go to and be like, okay, look, this is but he also trusts Shane Bowen. I think Terrell Williams is a veteran coach. I think they're in a good place. So I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue. I
think where I'm at with this, Teron, is I'm just not willing to right now say, when I think of the coaches that are doing it, like Sean McVay, everybody knows like what he is offensively. He's an offensive genius. He really is.
Is he though?
Yeah, I think
is
so.
He?
Yeah,
really?
I think so.
It was genius of him to tell you a little bit about all the starters on the team. Well, you know, on the team he was facing.
I think what he's done in a short amount of time.
Is that really genius? I think we're too quick to call these guys genius. I'm not going to call Sean
McVay
a genius.
Okay, I think he's pretty darn good. He's got a pretty good grasp of offense.
Okay.
I think he's been doing it, and we know he's pretty darn smart with his play calling and just the stuff that he's able to come. Frank Reich is one of those. I just think Frank Reich offense that comes pretty natural. I don't know. You were around Doug Peterson more than me. It was looked better when they had the combo together. But I don't know how you feel. I just think Bill Belichick knows defense. If he needs to, like, Bill Belichick is a mastermind when it comes to defense. I'm just not willing to put Mike Vrabel, while he played the position, he knows the position very well. I'm not willing to put him in that category yet. I'm going to have to see more of it to prove he can pull it off, like some of the other guys who do it.
I wouldn't put him in Belichick category, obviously, but I don't.
That's not fair to anybody because nobody's right in that category.
But, I mean, you look at Kyle Shanahan. You look at you mentioned McVay. These guys were able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why they could do it and Vrabel cannot. I really don't. So
here's the thing with McVay that makes him, I'm not going to say genius, but a good coach. He was able to take the deficiencies of his quarterback and mask that for a season and a half. Now the league's figured it out, and I don't think Goff is very good as an NFL quarterback, but he dumbed down the offense, made it work for him, and it got him to the Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but he got him there. So I think you give him some credit for that and how he ran that offense with those pieces.
I don't call him a genius. I think there's a rush to call Sean McVay a genius, man. I don't vibe with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Well, he can remember plays from a certain game 6 years ago. That's pretty smart.
I can remember plays from 2000.
Can you?
Why not? Yeah, I mean, it's.
Give us an opponent and take us through a play.
Simple example, we're playing Kutztown in the season opener. I could give you the first play of the game.
Okay.
Because it was me, Bandit left, blue draw, X hammer right. I caught it. The X hammer was a screen pass. I caught the screen pass. I actually tell you the guy's name, number 97, Denard Brown. He was a defensive end. He tackled me. I could take you to East Stroudsburg. I could take you to Glenville State. 1999, another season opener. We were actually going this way. It was second quarter. It was third and 11. I remember lining up on the left-hand side.
Teron's pointing left to right on a radio dial,
yeah.
Just so you know.
And I remember lining up on the left-hand side. It was trips on that side, and I remember I was the furthest one away from – I was number one, and I remember they were playing cover two. The safety was not – going to be able to get over top because it was the field side. My quarterback, Chris Waiters, signaled to me.
No relation
to
Deion.
No relation. He's from Philly, though. But he tapped the helmet. That means go route. I remember getting him at the line and running down the field. Waiters threw it up. I caught it on the sideline, tapped my toes, and fell out of bounds. I mean, you can remember plays. Like, it's not something that's like, oh, my God, he remembered a play. Like, it's –
That was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But I'm glad we did this exercise because that was fun. That was fun. I knew you were going to hit it out of the park.
Thank you.
But, no, I said that a little bit. That was tongue-in-cheek. I know people are quick to anoint him. You know,
right.
He's young and innovative, and he got him to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, you also need, as you said, the Jimmys and the Joes. You need the talent.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened. That came to roost this year as they didn't make the playoffs and they lost a lot of important pieces. So we'll see what's in store for them. Teron, good stuff as always.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah,
TD.
Good to be seen, man.
Have a good wet week. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, that's Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast. Go check it out. Where can you find it? TD, where can they get the podcast?
iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, search Talking with TD. We have a couple outstanding guests for you. I got Eno Benjamin coming on this week, Arizona State running back. I can't show off. I just say this Auburn cornerback has been mocked to the Titans at number 29 on a few mocks. We have him. So
you get them all, man.
Yeah, we got Alex Taylor, SC State, 6'9", 310 pounds, a right tackle. Yeah.
Say that again.
6'9", 310 pounds. Former basketball player. Uh-huh. He went down in the Senior Bowl and he did his thing. So that's the lineup for this week.
Okay. Good stuff. You make sure you check it out. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Tell us what you know. Pair of tickets to see Incubus in 311 with special guest Bad Flower at Bridgestone Arena. That'll be September the 4th. That's on a Friday. Friday, September 4th, Bridgestone Arena. Good concert. That's what's on the line. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. You must call in to win. This is a participation segment. That's how it works.
And can't win via the text line.
Nope. May read it, but can't win. That won't be eligible. This is what I know. David Poyle, our weekly segment with him. Tuesdays at 11:15 will now be Thursday. They're going to be traveling back from Vancouver tomorrow, so it'll be Thursday at that time at Pete and Terry's Tavern. So he'll join us in person getting geared up for the home game against the Islanders. So I do know that, so I just wanted to pass that along. I thought I'd work it in with Twick. This is what else I know. If you missed Duke in North Carolina on Saturday, you missed an unbelievable college basketball game. And finish twice. I've been front and center telling you, and it's not like I'm rooting against it. I'm just trying to be honest. I have not been impressed with the college basketball product this year. I just haven't. I just think there's a lot of mediocre teams. There's not really any real haves. There's some good teams. I don't think there's – nobody's going from good to great. I don't really think there's a whole lot of great in college basketball. I think there's a lot of good. But that was fun. And
yeah, that
North
was a
great Carolina,
game.
I know they're way down this year. I don't know how in the world they're going to recover from that.
Mm.
Like, how do you lose that game twice in that fashion? That was fun. And don't, by the way, it may have helped me win a category in pick six on Friday, too. So that added a little extra to it because I took the favorites. I didn't even see Gonzaga the final. Did they go on and mop them?
Oh, it ended up being like almost 40 points.
Yeah, they
90
were
90 to 60.
They were destroying them the last time I checked. I assumed that they went on and took care of business. So, yeah, I took the favorites with Gonzaga and Duke. And so I actually won that. But that was a fun college basketball game.
I'll say this because I texted you. I mean, look, we won. We got our point for pick six. So
Willie did not.
But that was a bad beat.
That was bad. That was a bad beat. Look, that belongs on Van Pelt. That was a bad beat for Willie.
So, because I thought he had. I was like, well, there you go.
Well, it probably isn't going to be used on Van Pelt because if you go by the line, then Duke did not cover. Right? What was the line? Do we know?
7.5.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even come close to covering that. They were never covering that line. So it was just a bad beat in our contest.
Right.
Bad.
Because you had to have them straight up.
But you know what? I'll take it.
Of course you will.
Yeah.
Of course you will. So will I.
Yeah.
This is what I know quickly. 1 week. Can't evaluate anything on 1 week. It's like, as you say, and I've used this analogy for years too, coming from the restaurant business. You don't go to a restaurant in the first month. You wait. But I like the XFL a lot.
Well, you go to it in the first month. You just don't judge it.
Right. You don't
like
judge
their success.
I really liked the first weekend of the XFL. I thought the play was much better than the AAF. The play was entertaining. Having the coaches and players mic'd up, getting that access, the efficiency of the officials and the replay booth, the new rules that they had in place. I was a big fan. I will be watching again in week two and week three. I want to keep paying attention to this league. And as a diehard, lifelong LA Wildcats fan, I was very disappointed in their loss.
Who put you on that? Did Marquise talk you into that? Or
we made a collective decision. Marquise, Ricky, and yours truly. I'm just saying. We decided that we were going to get on the LA Wildcats bandwagon.
Hmm.
We decided this many years ago, and we've stuck with them. So
okay. Well, as lifers, I wish you guys much success with LA.
Thank you very much.
Let's find out what you know. 737-1025, Incubus tickets on the line at Bridgestone Arena, Friday, September 4th. Let's go to Mike in Gallatin. Mike, what do you know?
As a diehard Dallas Desperado fan of 2 days, I was very disappointed in the way that they played too, Chase. So I feel you on the
I thought
on
they
the
were
XFL
the Renegades.
No, oh, what? Yeah, I said that, right?
No, you said Desperados. I think that was the old XFL.
Yeah, Desper Renegades, right.
Yeah.
2 days. Go Renegades. Anyway, this is what I know. The Chick-fil-A in Spring Hill is doing an incredible job at teaching their young employees how to deal with angry customers. I was in line behind a guy who got 14 chicken sandwich meals, and he missed one sandwich and proceeded to try to lay into this poor 16-year-old kid. And he just stood there stone cold and just hit him with, like, my pleasure about 10 times as the guy was, like, borderline freaking out over his one sandwich. If I was in his shoes, being a guy in the food industry for as long as I have, this is like borderline clock this dude manner, because it was a simple like, hey, we'll make you a new sandwich and put it in the bag for you. It didn't require any outburst, but hey, Chick-fil-A, they continue to go above and beyond in customer service, and this kid balled out.
They were always prepared when they clock into work. They're prepared. They come prepared.
Yeah, and for a 16-year-old under pressure, this kid looked like he was a seasoned vet.
Nice. Very nice. Good stuff, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks.
How ridiculous is that? You order 14, and so they messed up. Okay, just get your sandwich and move on.
Right.
People make big deal. It's just like the world is ending. It's like, okay, it was a mistake. Get your damn sandwich and Go about your whatever you're doing with 14 sandwiches.
Right.
Okay? It happens.
It's okay. It's not the end of the
stuff
world.
Happens. Like, how honestly, how many times have you been going through drive-thrus or doing fast food that you haven't had mistakes? Like, is this your first time?
Apparently. Or they're just one of those people that I have to let you know my displeasure.
I've lost count of how many times they've messed up my order. It happens, man. Get on with it. Greg, what do you know?
Hey, lifelong hockey fan, recent resident here in Nashville. What I know is since November 1st, the single biggest glaring weakness that everyone wants to apologize on the Preds has been in net. They have been subpar in net. That wears on an overall team's confidence. When you look at the top three lines, especially the third line's way over-delivered all year, top two D pair performing at a, you know, consistently above normal level. The one glaring weakness has been in net, and there are goalies to be had in a trade that David Poile needs to get busy if this team really wants to take advantage of the talent that's on the roster.
Where'd you move here from?
Chicago.
Chicago. All right. Well, welcome. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I love all the hockey talk in this town. It's great to hear.
Well, we're your place. Thank you, Greg.
Except you don't talk about the Blackhawks that much.
No, who?
Who are they?
Who?
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that XFL hockey?
Not quite, but not quite the NHL right now either.
The
no,
XHL.
We talk about them. We kid. Thank you, Greg. That's not happening, by the way. He's not making a trade for a goalie.
No.
That's I understand. It's got to get better, but a trade is not what's going to happen. Let's go to Chris. They may just ride the hot hand, and right now the hot hand is Soros. Chris, final one. What do you know?
Guys, this is what I know. Chase, my man.
What's up?
After seeing you ice skate on Instagram, do not quit your day job because you are not making the NHL, brother.
No, I know, and I've been given some great advice. That is a part of it. Somebody told me maybe I should get a stick to try and balance myself. I don't think that would work. I'd probably break the stick. I'm good with what I'm doing.
Use your relationship with teammates and have them give you some ice skating lessons.
No, that's not going to fix it, Chris. It's just not. It's
just
there's nothing.
Yeah, there's wanted to razz you.
There's nothing that's going to fix. This is called pylon. I actually thought he did better than what I expected to see.
Wow,
thank you. I know that's pylon.
I'm surprised you haven't commented on this yet. It made 2 hours. It took
Chase,
2 hours.
I know better than most. I knew what was coming. Like I said, I thought you did better than what I expected.
Listen,
I figured you'd be in protocol today.
I thought it would too. Yeah.
An A for effort.
Gina from promotions was there filming, cheering me on, crying a little bit because of how bad it was. But I appreciate her support during it. Look, there was a few times I let go of the wall and we got going, but then I didn't know how to stop, so I had to go to the wall.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to bang on you for that because I'm not a good skater either, but Chris, just to put things in perspective, if you haven't listened to the show for years, Chase has struggled playing cornhole. So, I mean, this was kind of expected.
I just wanted to razz you. I love you, Chase.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Hey, it's all good. It's all good fun. I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at.
Yeah.
I'm not athletic. I'm not. I can't shoot a basketball. I can't throw a football. I can't catch.
Nope.
Can't skate.
Nope.
Cornhole's gotten better. It's improved. It's improved.
Like, you had a hard time just holding the bag.
Yeah, well, we've come a long way with
that. Had a hard time hitting the board, for sure.
Beer pong, I'm great at.
Yeah.
I can now put the ball in the cup. Mm-hmm. So
just don't break your leg. We'll come back. Hour number three, we head east and go to Knoxville. Inside joke. Vince Ferrara, next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.